Live from Miami, Florida.
I am Linda.
And I am Bella.
And this is our podcast, Mostly Peaceful Latinas, where every week we will discuss current events, politics, pop culture,
and everything else related to the state of the clown world. Hello and welcome to another episode of Mostly Peaceful Latinas. I'm Bella.
And I'm Linda.
And before we get started, please don't forget to continue to show us support with a like and a subscribe to our channel. We are completely self-funded and appreciate all of the feedback that we get from you guys. So, another day in the clown world, and this time...
In the Biden regime.
At this time, it really has peaked. We really have peaked. Reached, like, phenomenal peaks. So, the home of... The 45th president of the United States, Donald J. Trump, was raided last night by the FBI for reasons yet unknown.
I mean,
I guess the official reasons.
The official reasons are unknown. What we do know is that President Trump was in New York, at his New York residence. And I don't know how many agents, I actually don't know how many agents went to his home in Mar-a-Lago. And they raided even his safe.
A brand new safe. Came in with equipment to open up his new safe. Which almost makes it feel like who's on the inside that's screwing
Let's
Trump
just be
over.
Honest from the get-go. This is the Biden regime weaponizing the FBI, the three-letter agency, to target his political opponent. And it's been happening since Trump took office with the Russian collusion. They have done everything in their power to stop Trump and his supporters from the America First agenda. First, it was a Russian collusion, right? To try to, demoralize and
undermine his presidency.
Okay. That went on for 4 years. They tried to impeach Trump for that, for some phone call with Zelensky or whatever it was. You have all the media attention around the racist, the homophobe, the xenophobe. What else did you have during the Trump campaign? The January 6th, which was, a total.
January 6th was a huge thing for us as Trump supporters because I think it's when it escalated from just being an attack on Donald Trump to an attack on all of us who supported him. It was no longer just a war on him. It's like they knew that he was going to be out of office, that they were going to push him out one way or another, and that the dissidents were going to become a problem.
Right. And it started really, we went to the first protest in November, right after the election. I remember it was November 12th, literally just a few days after November 3rd. And they saw the mass of people that showed up within days to Washington, D.C.
Organically.
There was caravans going from Texas. It was from Florida, buses of people. Obviously, it was us who got attacked by Antifa that day. We couldn't go out to dinner because these thugs and terrorists were out there hurting Trump supporters, kids, grandmas, stuff like that. And then you had the December rally, which was an even bigger turnout. And they said, they're going to come back in January and we're going to make sure that they learned their lesson. If you don't recall, Bella, when we were in Washington, D.C. for that December protest, the mayor of Washington, D.C. even started to bring back these COVID measures.
Well, I remember that they shut down restaurants. So that we wouldn't have anywhere to be able to eat. There were hotels that were asked to also shut down during that December rally.
It's kind of a full-on attack.
I remember January 6th very much a rally, just like we had seen in November and December, which was what January 6th was in what it was, what all of us went out there, thinking that it was before it turned into what it turned into, again, with the help of the three-letter agencies. But that's a conversation for another day. I remember that it was almost like the prep talk, right? Like pack food, pack water.
Yeah, because they're going to try to just...
if they're going to try to shut it down or how you're going to be able to get by. And it was, it's been an attack on us since the morning of November 4th.
So I guess one of the things that, CNN said is that the FBI raid was seeking boxes of classified documents in the office and personal quarters of President Trump. And the rumors are is that Trump is supposed to announce that he's running for 2024 as early as like next week. And so they're trying to prevent him from doing that.
Right.
So now they're saying that he mishandled or he took classified documents
from right. the National
and if
Registry.
He is found guilty of that, then he will not be able to run for office,
which is this what they've been looking for.
Exactly. So obviously you have the people on the internet saying, hey, listen, we don't trust the FBI. We've seen what the FBI has been doing since the Russian collusion and even before. So what makes us think that they're not going to plant some sort of evidence or distort what they find to make sure that Trump is guilty of whatever it is that they're trying to accuse him?
There's already an awareness that, you know, Christopher Wray, the director of the FBI, has already acknowledged that during the Russian collusion, there were several, what do you call these things before the raid?
Warrants.
There were several warrants that had been used to spy on conservatives and on the Trump campaign that should have never gone through. All sorts of, like, errors in the process that made it an illegal search warrant. And I guess that the conversation comes back to, can the FBI handle another situation where they are exposed as weaponizing themselves with these fake warrants to attack Donald Trump?
I just don't think that they care. Did you see what I mean? Because we live under a regime. We live under the regime. So to them, they're protected by Biden. So it's like they don't care at this point if the American people don't trust them or support them or have this negative perception of them because they're protected under Biden.
But don't you think that there's a radicalization happening? I mean, we've talked about it. There's a radicalization happening of the
party. And we will go through some of those streets. And I do think that, you know, history tells us that when one side pushes too far, there's another side that's going to react. And it's very unfortunate. But I do see even the most normies, right? Like these very
cookie cutter conservatives
who have large platforms and are employed by The Blaze or Turning Point USA going full dark MAGA because they're sick and tired. We're all sick and tired of being politically persecuted by the Biden regime. And before that, it was Washington, D.C. and the Obamas and the Clintons coming after Trump supporters. It's social media companies, is the PayPals of the world. You can't even have, actually today I saw Kristen Hall, she's a constitutional attorney, and her event, right, where she's going to go teach about the Constitution was canceled by Eventbrite because of hate speech.
Yeah.
So you can't even host an event anymore. This woman barely, she's not a Trump supporter, she's literally a constitutional attorney. That's what she is. So she explains the Constitution, she interprets it, she can't even host an event. So this is a full attack on not just Trump supporters, but anyone
on
the Constitution, any American patriot who defies the Biden regime or who stands in between them.
You know, one of the things that's worth mentioning is that the act that they're using against Trump in order to be able to justify the raid has never been used. Like, no president has ever been raided in the middle of the night because they took documents that they shouldn't have during their presidency.
You know what the left is saying? Sorry, just continue.
It's an ongoing issue that we're seeing because, you know, we saw something similar with General Flynn when they attacked him with the Logan Act, which is something that had never been used since its entire inception. So they're finding these regulations that have existed for have never been used and then using these legal loopholes in order to be able to justify legally their attacks and persecution of their opposition.
Yeah. I saw, I'll try to find it a little bit, but I saw a tweet earlier talking about, you know, Peter Navarro and Steve Bannon and General Flynn and Trump supporter January 6th defendants. Like, this is a full attack from Washington, D.C., from the regime against all of us. You know, it is also worth mentioning that the director of the FBI, Christopher Wray, was actually handpicked by Trump.
Yep.
It's something that a lot of the conservative commentators
don't really know where it is that it's coming from right now, right? Because the White House is claiming that they were unaware of the raid, that they had no knowledge of it. Mm-hmm. The Attorney General for the state of Florida, Ashley Moody, claims that she also had no knowledge, found out with the rest of us. The FBI of the South Florida Division of the FBI also had no idea that the raid was happening. Right. So where
Attorney
did this,
General.
Where did the order come from? Where did it come from?
Right. Right. Today they asked.
Did it come from Christopher Wray? Did it come? I mean, is there a split happening in our intelligence agencies? Is that what's going on? Because that's something that could have been predicted, because clearly there's going to be patriots within these three-letter agencies as well. And at some point, you have to imagine that even the own internal conflict has to be where there will be a split in these agencies, the same way that there will be a split in our military.
Here, I found a tweet that I wanted to show you guys. And this is from Brianna Morello on Twitter. And she says, Steve Bannon convicted, Peter Navarro charged, Donald Trump raided, Rudy Giuliani, completely forgot about him, disbarred and sued, Alex Jones sued, General Michael Flynn prosecuted, January 6th defendant solitary confinement without convictions, they're trying to annihilate conservatives, wake up America. If this doesn't wake you up to the reality of what America is going through, because you just care about the bag, which we all do, we all want to make money, we all want to be rich, we all want to focus on our families. If this doesn't give you a perspective of what is to come, how things are going to get that much worse, I can't help you.
Is that it's not even, we, I feel we like can't we're, even help you. I feel like we're past the point of what's to come. We're here. We're here. This is bad. This is incredibly bad for all of us. And we talk about, oh, it's going to get worse. It's going to get worse. And I had this conversation with you earlier today where it's like, I've been saying that for quite some time. And I'm at the point where it's like, how much worse can this actually get without literal gulags, without people being shoved out of their house, without, you know, warrants being against any one of us for posting the wrong meme on the internet.
And it's the Amir Odom made a post about it. It's the inconsistency where I see liberals on Twitter saying nobody is above the law, no president is above the law. Bro, literally Epstein, his associates, the Clintons, the Bidens, the Obama, they're all above the law.
Correct.
33,000 emails were deleted by Hillary Clinton. Nothing happened to her.
Hillary Clinton took literal hammers to BlackBerries. BlackBerries, her phone, emails, they took hammers to these BlackBerries and nothing happened.
Look at what happened to Project Veritas. They raided Project Veritas. The FBI raided Project Veritas because they had a copy or whatever of Ashley Biden's diary. They won't look into the contents of Hunter Biden's laptop. We've all seen the prostitutes, the crack, whatever, that's his personal life. But we also know there's a lot more in there.
Right.
There's rumors of underage pictures with girls. There's the business in Ukraine, in China, and they do nothing. So this double standard that is so blatant now, because they don't hide it.
Right.
It's not like they're actually trying to be a little bit conspicuous about what is going on. It's really, really radicalizing people. People are pissed. And you know what else? It's actually uniting the Republican Party, because for the last 2 years, or for more or so, for the last year, you've had an entire segment of Trump supporters and Republicans saying, we're sick of Trump. We don't want to hear Trump. We want DeSantis. He's the better choice. Trump is old. Blah, 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 blah. I don't want to hear Trump. And now you have all those people, a lot of people who hadn't mentioned Trump, who didn't want Trump to run again, saying, we want to vote for Trump. We want Trump back in the office because of what is going on. So you're uniting people. And you're also radicalizing them.
Also, well, because I think that another division that we've seen over the last year is that after J6, there was a huge split in the party where it was like, we don't condone what happened in J6 and we're not that party and we're not like the left and we're better than them and we're above them and we don't do. And now those same people are seeing where it is that kind of attitude gets us. The left, no, they don't hold anything back when it comes to attacking us. That tweet that we read earlier today from that influencer, 150,000 followers on
Twitter.
Disgusting,
bro.
And he says that any MAGA supporter that claims that the FBI should basically be held accountable for their illegal activities, that any Trump supporter that supports this should be in jail and their children left orphaned.
Let me read it to them. This is a tweet from Tim Weiss. He's the author of some racism book in America or whatever. He goes, any maggot who advocates violence in response to Trump's facing justice should be arrested now. Free speech does not give you the right to advocate violence. Arrest them, crush them, make their children functional orphans, end them. He doesn't stop there. He kept going on this disgusting rant. It's just funny how in this tweet he says, free speech does not give you the right to advocate violence, right?
While also
basically telling you that they want your kids to be orphans because they hate your ideology. We can't, every episode, we can't emphasize how much these people hate us. And I'll be honest with you, and I told you this, there's a lot of people who hated Trump, possible Democrats, who are seeing how disgusting the left is, and they're turning to us. Well, it happened to me on Sunday. A liberal girl that I know from the beach, pro-choice, hates Trump, and she finds out that a local Antifa page is trying to dox us, harass us, and this girl's like, I am absolutely disgusted by this. How can I support these people?
Antifa page. It's important to understand that it's not. It doesn't stop at just some random Antifa nerds. This is funded by heavy influential hitters when it comes to media. These are people that are trying to control a narrative. Yeah. They see people getting involved and they want to stop it by any means necessary. It's what they did to us in January 6th. They wanted to scare us enough to let us know, don't you ever get together to try and protest again. Because we're going to spend an entire year persecuting you for showing up.
That's what they want to do. It's political intimidation, political persecution. Honest to God, had you told me this 10 years ago or when I first moved here, or even 5 years ago, that this was going to happen, I would have told you to get on meds because you are a schizo that needs to be in a white room locked up, because I would have never believed you.
Well, same, because my mentality was, you know, voting for Barack Obama in 2008 and my parents having an absolute conniption. My daughter's a communist. You don't know what you just did. And really kind of blowing that off as Cuban trauma. You're just traumatized because of what you experienced in Cuba. That would never happen here. That would never happen in the United States. We have a Bill of Rights. We have a Constitution. Fast forward to where it is that we're at right now. And it couldn't be more terrifying, because it's reliving every story that my family that escaped communism has shared with me from the moment of my inception.
Yeah.
It's living that reality. Yeah. And to have, what's extremely frustrating is to read articles like the one on the swine that operates that on Antifa page,
or Paola Ramos,
and hear them say, like, you know, that
it's your trauma.
It's just your trauma. We're just writing that off. It's you're just being traumatized. Absolutely not.
Or saying that it's coming from Latino misinformation radio stations like Radio Mambi, or people like, oh, you're just spreading misinformation. No, motherfucker. We are literally seeing what the Cubans told us was going to happen in real life, because they're going to come for Trump. They're coming for his associates, people in the media like Steve Bannon. I'm sure Tucker Carlson's going to be next. And then it's going to be all of his supporters. You're going to say the wrong pronoun to somebody. You're going to call somebody she, whatever.
We're already there. The minute that the investigation started on the J6 attendance, like, we were already there. The attack on us, the people. The punishment for turning out and supporting Donald Trump. Because make no mistake, we are being punished for supporting Donald Trump. Yeah. We are being punished for showing up in record-breaking numbers on November 3rd. And we are being punished for not standing back and allowing them to just take this country.
Well, he said it. Yeah. They're not after me. They're after you. I'm just in the way. And every single day I think about that, because it's truer words have never been said before. Really quick, I want to read a tweet from Ali Beth Stuckey. I always forget her last name. If you guys don't know her, she is a podcast host for Blaze, Christian conservative millennial, super nice girl. You know, she's very, very proper, wholesome, you know, cookie cutter conservative. Love her. And just read this tweet for a second. Let me just read this. It's time for conservatives forsake nostalgia. America isn't going back to how it was when we were growing up. The way forward is going to require the people we elect to exercise a lot more power than conservatives have been traditionally comfortable with. Why is that? You have people like Ali Beth, who has always been a very moderate, chill, cookie cutter conservative on Twitter, on Instagram, on her podcast, mostly focusing on Christianity and, you know, conservatism. And she herself is saying, dude, We need people who are going to exercise power over the left, because they're seeing that we don't have a normal left anymore. This is an authoritarian regime.
It's almost like we've been saying this since the first episode, that inevitably this is what it would come to. Because how far can you push people truly past? It's not even past a comfort zone at this point. We're not safe. People are going to be very reactionary. And I feel like there is an innate feeling to want to protect yourself and to want to protect your family. And people are being pushed past the point of inconvenience. This is no longer requiring to wear a mask when you go into a grocery store or even needing a vaccine to get your job. Now, we're talking about legitimate political persecution. You potentially ending up in jail because you said the wrong thing.
Because you wore a MAGA hat.
Posted the wrong meme. Because you wore the wrong MAGA hat. This is past pushing us out of a comfort zone. This has become unsafe. We're living in times where being a conservative and having conservative views puts a giant target on your back. And it doesn't make you unsafe. It makes your families unsafe, because they're not just going to dox you. They're going to dox your kids. They're going to dox your parents. They're going to dox your tía, your abuela. They're going to dox your cat.
They literally doxed one of my dogs. Literally.
So at what point do we realize that we're past the point of just, well, maybe we can go back to the drawing board and meet somewhere in the middle and come to some kind of mutual understanding? There is no mutual understanding when we're talking about pure survival, which is what's going to happen. We're stepping into territory where you're triggering people's primal survival instinct.
Absolutely.
If you're telling me that I'm going to be persecuted for my beliefs in God, in this country, towards my family, then you're going to push people to the point where they're going to have to protect themselves from a very primal place.
And you know what pisses me off is the response from Republicans and their same bullshit every time. You have Kevin McCarthy, who's the minority, He's the minority leader of the House. And he's like, when we take back the House, we're going to make sure that we investigate. No, you're not, motherfucker. You're not going to do anything, because you never do.
McConnell hasn't said anything.
And to be honest, even DeSantis has been disappointed, because he put up a tweet, did not mention Trump.
Barely mentioned Trump.
So I hope that DeSantis is scheming something with Christina, whatever her name is, with his press secretary and the Florida National Guard, or God knows who else, to do something about what just happened. The right reaction is what Anthony Sabatini said, which was, we need to look at how we cut ties with these federal agencies from the states.
Fact.
That's what we need to do.
Yeah, we can't count on them anymore. We can't trust them anymore. They've been weaponized against our political figures. We've seen them be weaponized against regular Americans. We've seen them weaponize the FBI against mothers, guys. Regular moms at school board meetings have ended up on terrorist watch lists because of these three-letter agencies acting completely AWOL.
Here's a thing, too, okay? The anti-fascist, the left, who are so scared of fascism, right? They're literally the people who are breathing and birthing fascism. Because why did you have dictators like Franco in Spain? He was trying to stop communism from perpetrating Spain. And you can't do that without a heavy iron fist. Yeah. So when conservative, we're not the real fascists. We're not. But the reality is that you can't stop these people otherwise.
That can't be the answer anymore. It can't be like, we're not the real fascists. It's like, well, I mean, at some point, again, survival of the fittest.
What are you
going to
do?
Call it whatever it is.
There's no live and let live anymore.
These people want you dead. There's no live and let live anymore. These people want you unemployed. They want you in jail. They want your kids orphaned. It's enough with the, we're going to be able to find some kind of healthy medium. It needs to come down with an iron fist. And it's not just about who's going to be president. It's about all our elected officials.
Yeah.
This local race, these primaries have me sick with politics. Sick with it. Because it has nothing to do with who's the better candidate, who's going to provide for this country, who's going to provide with their constituents. It's all a popularity contest. And you're either willing to play with the big boys, or you're not. And it's quite sick to watch it happen live, you know?
Yeah.
Because it's not... you realize how much goes on behind the closed scenes. Doors. Because, yeah, of course, it does make sense. If you've got a secret donor donating millions of dollars to a candidate that's going to be easy to manipulate, then that person's got access to mailers, access to phone banks, access to pay to people to knock walkers. On doors, to walkers. Those things cost money. Those things cost actual money.
Yep.
And if you don't have the right support, if you're doing things the right way and you're not selling out to corporations that are going to give you the money that you need for those things, then you put yourself at a disadvantage in the race. Because people aren't out there thinking, man, you know what? I've got an extra $50 today, and this campaign, this guy, I really believe in what it is that he stands for, and I want to help him so that he doesn't have to sell out or the state or whatever it is. It's been sickening to watch that it's like the political system is corrupt from the bottom up.
Yeah.
It's corrupt everywhere.
It's a unit party.
And until it is a unit party, which is why we now more than ever need to hold conservatives accountable.
If and you start are electing, elected, right.
It's enough. I don't care that you're pro-Second Amendment. I don't care that you're pro-life. I need to know that you're going to do whatever it takes to uphold the Constitution and protect our conservative values. And when you've got people voting for January 6 committees, when you have people voting for red flag laws, when you've got not just people, when you've got Republicans doing this, it hurts our party way more than a Democrat ever
Absolutely.
Could.
Absolutely. I think it's important to mention who the judge was that signed off these warrants. So it's West Palm Beach Judge Bruce Reinhart. He signed off the warrant to raid Trump's Mar-a-Lago state. And he happens to represent, or he represented Jeffrey Epstein's employees in 2008, and he's an Obama donor. So obviously the internet is going wild with the conspiracy theories. I haven't really read into much, into many of them, but I do know that it's like, it's literally like a movie script. Like, here we are again.
It's insane.
Another Epstein connection. I mean, connection
even,
comes
even
back.
Our local Antifa page is connected right back to the whole Epstein and I did the entire situation. Even our local Antifa page that attacks you and I for just posting our memes and our bullshit, even these people can be traced back to Epstein. So exactly, you know, this is something that has kind of gone away. Great for the left. The Epstein story has actually gone away because I don't know how the hell you explain that one away. But there are people involved at every level of our government with that man.
Absolutely. I mean, how many trips did Bill Clinton take? 32 trips? Yeah. And he's not investigated?
That's just on the island, not counting the ranch.
On the island that everybody knows, they were you know, raping sleeping kids. with children. Mm-hmm. And he's not investigated. Once again, it's the double standard of the Washington elite. And this is, again, and I've mentioned it so many times on the podcast, this is why I don't shit on Vladimir Putin, because they have been trying to do what they did to Trump, to Putin, for the last 20 whatever years, where they get one of the little propped Soros-backed opponents like Navalny, and then they know what the hell is going on. Oh, these are the Americans. They're trying to do a coup, take me out, put their puppet so they can control all of Russia. F you. I'm not doing that. I'm going to get that guy. I'm going to put him in jail. And I'm going to do whatever I want. Why the hell wouldn't you do that? Why wouldn't you? I mean, if you're Vladimir Putin and they're trying to do what they did to Ukraine in 2014 with the coup that the U.S. backed up, why would you let America intervene in your foreign affairs?
And nobody actually talks about how, to be quite honest, Putin let himself be bullied around by NATO for quite some time before he finally responded.
And by Obama.
Obama. They have been surrounding him like a wild animal. Imagine like one of those fights that you used to have when you were a kid and you're like, you know, you're ready. Like, if I hit this motherfucker, it's going to be bad. So you're like, back off me. And then you lay your first punch and you knock somebody out. That's what's happening in Russia right now. How much longer do you expect this man to be bullied around, to have his borders surrounded, biolabs created? What? And the idea is that he's supposed to do what? Be docile and not respond back in any capacity. And then when he does, he's going to be set out as the bad guy, just as they do to us.
Yeah.
Because it's the same script.
Bella, he warned us. He warned us about the January 6th. He called it out. He said, this is political persecution. He knew about the election that we obviously can't mention on YouTube. He warned us about everything.
He knew. He had the foresight to be able to.
He knew. He told us.
To do it to him. So
the empire of lies. The empire. I'll never forget that. The U.S. and the Western bloc is the empire of lies. And I'm like, I can't disagree.
That's tough.
Because I rather an authoritarian tell me, I'm going to put you in jail if you smoke weed for 9 years. But you're telling that straight to my face. So I know I'm not going to fuck around. Then these people who present themselves at this liberal, beautiful, we're all inclusive diversity. And then they lock you up for
anything. And then the day that you piss them off, they're going to get a warrant signed by what's his face connected to Epstein. And then before you know it, you're in jail because you had a half hole in your house. This is where we're at. The system will tell you that they're free and do whatever it is that you want until they can weaponize it against you.
Yep. You know who are two of my favorite men on Twitter who are constantly popping off and pushing back against the communists with the same tactics that they do? Matt Walsh from the Daily Wire and Jesse Kelly. And Matt Walsh right now is having a culture fight with some transgender, I think she's a professor, if I'm not mistaken, or she works at a university. And she did a post with the hormone pill saying that, you know, whoever needs these pills, we'll send it to you to your state. That's, you know, you technically could be breaking state laws. And she pushes this out there. And Matt Walsh is like, oh, hold on a second. This is like illicit drug trading. So now there's a whole war of him writing to the dean of that university saying, do you know that your employee is doing this and trying to get her canceled? Now she's crying, saying, oh, Matt Walsh is coming after me. This is targeted harassment. This is the problem. You guys fuck around a lot. And when you have bullies come back, like we have done to our enemies, you start crying about targeted harassment. You start crying about violence. Oh, look at them. Look at what they're doing. Bro, you are breaking people. Like you're quite literally at the tipping point where people are not going to take this shit anymore. Everyone is sick and tired of it. Jesse Kelly said it. Here he goes. He goes, communists are never going to see your high moral character and be inspired to back off. Never.
Never.
That is never going to happen. You turning the other cheek, you saying you're the better person, you saying you're taking the higher ground, that is not, they don't care. They want you dead.
Take your L.
Quite literally. You're assigning your value system to them. The only chance we have to back them off is to attack them the way they attack us. Use your judges and raid their homes. I couldn't agree more.
You know, I remember January 20th, the cabbage is installed as the 46th president of the United States. And my father called me. My father, as you guys know, whose mother spent 9 years as a political prisoner. His father was assassinated for supporting, for being an anti-communist and against the Castro regime. My father called me. And the first thing that he told me on January 20th, understanding that I had the page, was, if you're going to remain in this fight, you need to understand that you're fighting against communists. And the one thing that you need to know strategically is that you need to leave your morality at the door when you are fighting communists. Because communists will never meet you at your same barometer of morality. So while you're trying to do the right thing and be a good person, that's exactly the weak point that they're going to use to attack you and destroy you with later. And honestly, truer words couldn't exist.
No, they're absolutely right.
Truer words couldn't exist.
And you know what's crazy? That this has gone so far. Obviously, you have all the los imbéciles, all the idiots on Twitter cheering this on, because here's the thing. It's like I was telling a Trump supporter earlier this week. It's like even your friends who think they live under a democracy because they like Biden or they just hated Trump, so they are okay with Biden, they too live under an occupation. This is also not their country. Mm-hmm. It's not. They're just too blinded and filled with hate to understand that the country was also taken away from them. You have Andrew Yang, who's a Democrat, and you have Andrew Cuomo, who's another Democrat. Them two are speaking out about what happened to Trump yesterday. They're outraged by it too. They're saying, hey, listen, if you guys are doing this for political theater, you guys are going to embolden the Trump base, number one. You're going to undermine what's going on with the January 6th committee and all their investigations. This is just
and
you're setting a president, dude. Like, we could be doing the same thing 4 to 8 years from now.
Don't be surprised.
Don't be shocked.
January 20th of 2025, Donald Trump is back in. And then what? Because then the FBI can be sent to knock on anybody's house, honestly.
Yep.
Why not? Why not former President Bill Clinton?
And honestly,
why not former President Joe Biden and his son Hunter Biden? Why not? Inevitably, it's where it's going. But you know what? I think that it actually says a lot about what their expectation is.
What do you mean? They're
trying to stop that moment from ever happening. They don't care how far they have to expose themselves as long as they make sure that Donald Trump is never president again. They don't care how exposed they are. They don't care because at this point, they've lost it. They're either it's survival. Yep. It's like I either take him down or he comes into power and he takes me down.
Yep.
Because they know we're pissed. Yeah, they know we're fed up.
But Bella, here's the thing too. Lock her up for 4 years, and they didn't.
Yeah.
You see what I mean?
Yep.
So it's like, yeah, like Pedro Gonzalez said, the left can't mean, but they're locking up their political opponents that you said you were going to do.
I would.
So Trump or whoever's, like, you can't have these advisors and these people, weak people surrounding you, telling you, you can't do this, you can't do that. No, you need to also weaponize however you can through legal loopholes and come after your political opponents, especially somebody like the Clintons.
Absolutely. 100%. Like the Clintons. They also seized the phone of Chairman Scott Perry from the Freedom Caucus.
Yep. And nobody knows why. Apparently, the guy was walking through the airport. He was going on a trip with his wife and kids. Three agents approached them, told them they had a warrant for his cell phone, and they took it from him.
And that's it. And that's the America that we're living in right now, where there's been no answers provided. The same way that the J6 defendants sat in their gulag.
They're still sitting there with solitary confinement. And that's another thing that the Republicans don't talk about. There's only a few, like Matt Gaetz and Marjorie Taylor Greene and a couple of other ones who have actually spoken against what is going on in these D.C. gulags against the January 6th defendants. It's absolutely disgusting. With that being said, more news from the Biden regime, because they just can't stop literally screwing us every single day.
Yep.
It's that they approve 87,000 new IRS agents who are going to target the middle class. They're not going to go after their rich elitist millionaire friends. It's not going to happen. This was supposed to be on inflation, right?
Yeah, to combat inflation. This is actually the greatest part, right? So the bill is called the Inflation Reduction Act, right? And it's like about 70% focused primarily on like environment stuff. So it's a climate change bill. It's predominantly a climate change bill, with the exception that they're putting in some small things about, you know, insulin price and Medicare recipients to keep some people calm about it. But really what it is the IRS news is really what's broken the headlines, because we're talking about 87,000 agents. They're going to be checking your Venmos, the Venmo ain't safe.
PayPals.
They're going to be checking your PayPals. They're going to be checking your Cash Apps. They are going to be going after the middle class, regular average citizens. One of the things that was most concerning to me about the news and the budget that's being awarded to the IRS is the acquisition of 4,600 weapons and over 80,000 rounds of ammunition.
By the IRS. What's the IRS going to do with that?
So apparently there's officers that are armed within the IRS. They have something like an over 60% of at any time that a gun has been fired from an IRS agent, 60% of the time has been by accident. So they're not even properly trained. But I feel like that's the most terrifying part. Like, why does the IRS, it's already a Gestapo, if you ask me, why does the IRS need to have these weapons? And then, you know, I was thinking about it today when I was getting ready for the podcast. It's like, holy shit, like we went to war because there was a 3% sales increase on sales tax on tea? Is that what happened? Do we need less Starbucks
and more tea?
Like a 3% increase on tea set off the American Revolution. And here we are, 87,000 new IRS agents to come after you and the $500 gift that, you know, a friend might have made. Or
you know what pisses me off? You know, it's something that grinds my gears. It's whenever you bring this up and you have a liberal or even a conservative, oh, well, if you don't have anything to hide, then why do you care? Are you like, are you stupid? If you're a liberal, you're the type of person that talks about a system of oppression and white supremacy and blah, blah, blah. You want to give these people more power to take money from you and audit you? And if you're a conservative, like, why does the IRS need to be looking into all of our shit?
Into
why
everything.
Do you want to give him more money and power? Even if you're not doing, like, we're not doing anything wrong, but still, they're not absolutely going to audit not. The Clintons. They're not going to, for sure, they're not going to audit the Bidens. You're not going to have Hunter Biden's expense trips to Vegas on his
crack and his hoes
are not going to be audited. So yeah, it is a big deal. Even if I'm not doing anything wrong, it pisses me off. This is nothing more. This bill that's passing, it's literally the Green New Deal that stupid AOC has been trying to pass it for the past 4 years.
Well, I've talked to you about the Global Covenant of Mayors before, which is basically an association that exists with all of the globalist organizations in where they get commitments from local mayors. Again, guys, the importance of local government. They get commitment from local mayors to basically implement the Green New Deal into their local municipalities and kind of bypass the federal government, if you will. Mm-hmm. And one of the requirements that these mayors, pledges that they make when they're accepting the money from this covenant of mayors is that they're going to lower emissions by 40%. So it's like, again, the globalists have found a way in one way or another. This is the same shit that the UN is pushing. This is the same shit that's been pushed when they go off to their WHO meetings and all this other stuff that they go meet up with all their other reptilian friends.
It's concerning where the trajectory of the country that you know where it's going.
Again, I feel like we're so past saying it's crazy. You know, we're going into a dangerous place. We're not headed anymore.
We're there already.
We're here. We have arrived. There is a tent for us, and we're set up, and there's a hole in the ground for us to go in the bathroom in. Like, this is the reality that we're in right now. The next step to this, then it's the firing lines.
Yeah.
The next step to this is the firing lines. There's no more. We're headed in a really bad direction for the country. No, like, we're in a really bad place for the country where the only way out of this is going to be extremism from one side or the other.
You know what's actually really sad? There was a case of a bodega owner in New York that he defended himself from a thug that was going to come and rob him, and he shot him. The guy died. He was going to be prosecuted, and then there was an outrage, and so they dropped the charges because obviously it was self-defense. But of course, you live in New York, so you got to let yourself be killed and robbed. With that being said, the guy is hiding. The guy is so scared of the retaliation from the thugs that live in New York that are going to come after him and his family. The guy is now hiding somewhere in upstate New York, and he's saying that he wants to go back to DR.
Outlawed.
Do you understand what it is that immigrants that leave their home country because they were scared of being robbed back then because they didn't have job opportunities? They're not going to go back to these shitty ass countries because they're scared of what's happening here. That, to me,
America's not safe anymore.
It's just not safe.
America isn't safe. And that's particularly to us immigrants, a daughter of immigrants. It's incredibly sad to see that when you grow up with the idea of the real American dream of being safe, the ability to pursue whatever you want, to pursue your dreams, and to have that snatched. Talking to my father right now is heartbreaking because he lost Cuba. My family lived in Venezuela for a very long time. They lost Venezuela, and now they're watching the same thing happen to the States. And it's like the only thing that it can be attested to is to communism, and that at the end of the day, it's like communism truly is the root of all evil that we're watching happen in the States right now. We never won World War II.
No, we didn't.
We didn't win World War II. We didn't win the war on communism.
No, we didn't. That's that they always say we defeated fascism. Okay, sure, great. Look at us now.
Yeah,
it's a very scary dark situation. Times. I actually went door knocking this weekend, and I showed a little bit of that on my story. And first of all, I'm going to a very Latino heavy Latino demographic neighborhood filled with American flags. I never seen it like that. And I grew up there and I was like, wow, like they're more patriotic than I ever remember. With that being said, when I was approaching the older generation, of course, a lot of them Cuban Americans, they were so hesitant to talk to me, to even say hi, because they see a young person, otra comunista, another liberal, I don't want to talk to you. I literally had to say, hey, I'm here with a Republican. Oh, okay. Then they start being a lot more friendly. I had an Afro-Latina pop off for like 2 minutes, just ranting on about they're destroying this. We're not energy independent anymore. Everything that Trump did, these people are destroying, blah, 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 blah. And I'm like, once you talk to voters, like Instagram is one thing, social media is one thing, but once you start talking to these voters on the ground and you see that their support for what is going on right now, it's so little. I'm guessing it's mostly the coastal white liberals, or not just white, but like overall, and obviously the black demographic that are still supporting this disaster of administration.
And what are they fueled by? Oh, hate, right?
Hate?
They're not fueled by any kind of common sense or logic, because they're also feeling it at the pump. They're also feeling it when they go get meat at the grocery store. They're feeling the inflation. They're feeling the repercussions of a Joe Biden presidency. And yet they're so fueled with hate that they'll still say, but I am voting for Trump.
Yeah. No, it's actually, I don't know. I mean, I guess I wish we had something good to close this off. I guess the good news is that people are getting behind Trump again, right? Which there was a lot of division in the movement. So that's promising to me, because
it seems like people are also being driven further right.
Here's the thing that I want to say to these people who are like, oh, DeSantis 2024. You guys are, it's not that you're wrong. It's not that DeSantis wouldn't be a good candidate. He'd be a great candidate. Or it's not that I'm a Trump cultist and I just want to shut you down because you don't support who I want to support. Once again, Florida has a red legislature. They have a Republican-dominated legislature where it's a lot easier to pass DeSantis' agenda. And even then, 80% of those Republicans in the Florida House are rhinos who water down bills, who do not want to support DeSantis, but they're being forced to support DeSantis because all of us do. So they have no choice. A lot of these guys are actually supporting the weaker Republicans running for state house. We know that because of what is happening here at the local level. They want their little puppet so they can continue to push the Jeb Bush, the Bush legacy dynasty agenda. That's what they want. They don't even like DeSantis. What are you guys going to do when DeSantis cannot pass his agenda because we don't have the House? And even if we do have the House like we did in 2017, the rhinos are not backing up his agenda. What are you guys going to do? Are you guys going to denounce DeSantis too? Are you going to say that he's weak and he can't do anything? Because I feel like a lot of you guys just do not understand the system. I have to remind people over and over again that Trump couldn't pass the funding for the wall, that he had to go through the military funds or the Pentagon or whatever it was, fight the courts to be able to fund that wall because Republicans didn't support it either. So,
and there's no one to be quite frank, when you're looking at those rhinos, when you're looking at those rhinos and you're like, who are these people? Who keeps voting them in? You guys need to look at yourself.
Yeah.
Because these rhinos are being put in there by you. Even if you're not actively voting for them, you not showing up informed, because showing up isn't enough. Showing up to the voting booth and just voting red all the way down, it's not enough. Going into the voting booth uninformed or lack thereof, not showing up to the voting booth at all, is the reason why rhinos are in power right now. They count on you not knowing anything about them. They count on you maybe seeing a mailer with their face enough times, and then maybe that'll be reason enough for you to vote for them if you go out there. Or they'll do something like they've done here at local school boards, which is that most people aren't going to go and show up and vote for school boards like they haven't done in decades. Hopefully this year we're going to see a huge increase in that. Right? So what do? They show up in mass numbers because they weaponize the unions. So now you've got the local teachers union here has something like what? Like it's some obscene number of members.
I can't remember that much, right, but now.
Double digit thousands. Anyways,
run elections though. They run all the elections.
So now they've got at their fingertips an entire email list of people. Hey guys, tomorrow is the election. And here are the candidates that the teachers union is endorsing.
Yeah.
And that's it. Now everybody else is driving their kids to softball practice, getting home to make dinner, showing up to work, going to the gym. Well, voting passes, they don't show up.
I just saw earlier today, I saw how Marco Rubio is facing someone here and they're tied and the other person's like a Democrat. Billy Corbin was endorsing her and all these other Democrats. And it goes back to when you guys get pissed off of, why is Trump endorsing Marco Rubio anymore? If he's a rhino, why is Trump? Oh, Trump's just a Sullivan. Trump, dude, because we have no other choices. So what do you want Trump to do? Not endorse Marco Rubio and have the Democrat win? It's not like I don't like Marco Rubio. I'm not a Marco Rubio like freaking fan. But what are we gonna do?
And not to mention, which is the other conversation that people don't want to have, Marco Rubio brings in an exuberant amount of money to his campaign. His donors really like him. Marco Rubio. So you might really hate him, but if you hate him, why not pump money into the person that's opposing him, into their campaign,
or find a candidate,
or run.
How about you run?
How about you run? It's really this simple. And we've had this conversation so many times because everybody always wants to talk about, why does Trump endorse the rhinos? Why does Trump endorse the rhinos? Well, dumbass, because this is all about strategy.
And money.
That rhino is bringing in 10 times more money than his opponent. There's been surveys done within the vicinity of that candidate that shows that he's the probable candidate to win. Why would Trump bet on a losing candidate? And again, this goes back to the same conversation about morality. You guys want people to go out there and act out of pure morality, and we're not fighting with people that are moral. Fighting with people that cheat and lie to get their way. So we need to be strategic with how we show up, because if all we're worried about is being the good guys and being the honest guys and not being like the left, we're going to lose every single time. And where it is that we're at right now is so definitive, not of where we're headed, of where we are.
Yeah,
this is where you are. The former president of the United States was raided last night over using a law that hadn't been used ever since its inception. We've got political prisoners in the United States right now. This is where you are at. It's no longer of, it's going to get worse. It's going to get worse. No, there's nothing left to come from here. Firing lines.
You're here. We'll put this up. You're here. Weimar Republic, fall of the Roman Empire, 1990s Yugoslavia, ethnic conflict, rampant degeneracy and political collapse. That's where you are.
That's where we're at. And somehow we're in the middle, still having to go to work every single day and function like regular people.
But
there's no high note to end this. Honestly, if anything, we hope that this episode of the podcast and the current events of what's unfolding empower you to realize that taking a back seat into the civic process is no longer an option.
Bro, I don't want to do this. I just want to sell my jewelry and like fucking live, be rollerblading every day.
Normal. And enough. If I hear one more person, trust the plan or whatever it is. Shut up. Shut up. Take your country back. Quite literally, take your country back. I wish that every single person that was on the internet complaining about the freaking Dominion machines would start some kind of PAC or an LLC or something to push for the machines to be taken out of the state. No, they won't do that because they're waiting on a savior. Yep. And then they get mad when somebody like Donald Trump can't do the impossible and bring down the Satanist cabal that's been around for the last 100 years.
By himself. But... you know, we popped the fuck off.
There was a fly right now, and I was like ready to fight it because, you know, like the Pence fly and the clay. And I'm like, nah, ain't no fly landing on me.
Just cracking the fuck up. Listen, guys, this concludes our episode. We have new merch. Again, we pay for everything ourselves. We're trying to grow. We don't have millions of dollars. So if you can support us by buying merch, Jamie from Gays Against Groomers is our designer. So we have Far Right Latina merch. Fire Latina summer merch, Fire Latino summer merch, a couple other items. Some of them are limited edition, so get them while you can. The link is going to be in the description box. Also, please don't forget to like, share, and subscribe and help us grow, because we want to continue doing this. So thank you so much.
Thank you guys for supporting us. Have a great one.
Bye.